Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
We are wiser than any other person. Any other human being on the face of the earth. Igbos are wiser. That is our mentality. We believe we are the smartest. But that won't work in the kingdom. Amen? It's not the kingdom principle. The wisdom God wants is the wisdom that is from God. That wisdom that is from above. That wisdom that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. That is the wisdom he wants us to operate with. Praise the Lord. I don't want to overflog issues of parenting so that we'll go straight to what we want. But let's quickly go through steps to Christian parenting. Steps to Christian parenting. The first step is personal consecration of our lives. That's the first step in Christian parenting. Personal consecration of our own lives. Until our lives are consecrated to him, we'll not be able to carry out this task. It's a lifelong task. Amen? Parenting is what? A lifelong task. Even when that your child is grown, is married, is in his or her own home, you are not at peace in your home until that child is, you know, comfortable. Amen? Amen. You are not at peace until that your child is comfortable, is in right standing with God and socially. Till today, my mom will call, "How are you?" This one, she's always bothered about everything. "How are you preferring?" I was like, "Mom, I'm a grown up. I am an adult. Don't worry. We'll be fine." She's always bothered about each and every one of us. And let me tell you, that is Christian parenting. You will continue to care. It will continue to be a burden to you as long as that person is your offspring. And that is why it's important for us to lay the right foundation now. That is why it's important for us to build on the right foundation. It's a lifelong responsibility. As long as you're breathing, that your child will always be part of you. The child will always be part of you. Whatever touches that child, touches you. Amen? And God forbid if the child fails, it's a failure on your part. But our children will not fail in Jesus' name. Amen. Another step is we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Parenting, the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit doesn't help you, a lot will go haywire. He is your best companion in parenting. I think I've said this before about one day I was on campus, I was just sitting somewhere, and a group of boys, young boys, they were just chatting. And they were talked about how they had a class party, and one of them said that he just didn't want to go for that class party, but after some time, he just like, how would he be the only one? So I let him just go. And he went for the class party. And this is somebody that was brought up from a Christian background. And when he went for the party, he said when he got there, he just sat in a quiet place, just observing what was happening. And a lady came, walked up to him and said, how can you be the only one here now? Eh? How can you, only everybody is enjoying, you're the only one sitting idle here. I beg, just stand up now, just shake body small. From shaking body small, they ended up in one of the hotel rooms. And when they got there, the lady was like, let's just have a little fun now. And before he knew, this somebody that resolved that he wouldn't even go for the party. After some time, he decided to go. And that when he goes there, he will just sit in a quiet place. Before he knew it, though, the lady was able to woo him to sleep with her, to lie with her. And he said, as he was just unzipping his trouser, he had a phone call, and it was his mother. His mother said, "Where are you?" He couldn't answer. And, you know, I was sitting somewhere just listening to their gist. He said, "This is my mom, eh? Anytime I want to do something, she will just call me. Anytime I want to do, she will just call me." And who is that woman? Spirit-led mother. The boy was, I was just sitting quietly. "Anytime I want to do, she will just call me. I don't know how she just knows." Can we be such mothers? Can we be such fathers? The other one will say, do you know my own? My father, hey, anytime I want to tell lie, he must know. If I don't say anything, it's not the truth. He will tell me, no, this one you're saying is not true. That is spirit-led parents. And that is what God wants from us. Bringing up children is a tough responsibility. Very tough. Very, very tough. Especially in this generation. Because a lot of them are smarter than us. So you better agree that they are smarter than you. They are smarter than you. And so for you to parent them, you have to ask the Holy Spirit to give you inspiration of what to do. If he doesn't give you, you can't do it. They will just outmatch you. When they go back, say, see, they'll be laughing. See my mom. She thought she can overcome me. They will laugh. You just need the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can give you direction on how, when they follow this way, you follow this way. Recently, my son, we were to go somewhere. We were just gisting. He said, we're going to have our graduation. My class people, all of us contributed money. That day, we're going to go to ShopRite. And as he was gisting me now, I said, is it true? How much did people contribute? He told me we're just gisting. So that day, incidentally, the dad had to go to hospital. So I said, all of us will go to the hospital with daddy. He said, once it's 12 for me, I'm going to school for the class. You know, I contribute them. I said, no problem. Let's just go to the hospital first. And we went to the hospital. Immediately, it was 11:45. He said, we have class. I said, are we going to leave your daddy here and go? And you start going. We can't leave him here now. Because the Holy Spirit told me, don't allow him to go for that class party. He's supposed to go for a computer lesson. And I said, if he goes for that computer lesson, from there, he will go for that program. And I didn't want him to go. The Holy Spirit said, take him with you. Take him with you. So that day, we all of us went to the hospital. As soon as he became restless, I said, we can't leave your daddy there. You know it's not possible now. All of us will stay here. And we waited until we finished with the doctor. By the time we finished, it was late. He didn't go. He wasn't happy, but I've exempted him from whatever the enemy has planned. Praise the Lord. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to direct you. You can't parent them by your own sense. Many of them are ahead of us. Is it technology-wise? They know more than you. If anything happens to my phone, I'll just call him. Check this, my phone. He will fix it. For me to take it to somebody is because he can't do it. If it's beyond him. But whatever it is, he knows how to follow procedure and fix the phone, fix my laptop. He's only in GS3. So, they are smarter than us. They are more exposed than us. But the Holy Spirit can keep you ahead of them. Amen? The Holy Spirit will keep you ahead of them. As long as you yield to him, he will keep you ahead. He will be gisting with you and talking with you. The Holy Spirit is telling you, watch this, watch this, watch this. And gives you what to do concerning that situation. Praise the Lord. So another thing is that, another step is that, you have to live and model that life you want your child to live. We want Christian parenting. We are Christian parents. And we want to bring up our children in the way of the Lord. Are you living that life you want your child to live? Your mother, what do you want your girls to turn out to be? Would you be happy if they turn out the way you are? The way you talk? The way you carry yourself? The way your attitude? Will you be happy if they behave the way you are behaving right now? Fathers, will you be happy if your son is your replica in character, in every way, in your attitude towards your wife and everything? Will you be happy if your son is your replica? So, we have to model that life we want them to live. You can't say, I want my child to be well-behaved, and then you, even at home, the way you talk to your wife and the way you talk to your husband. Some of them, as you're doing, your child will be watching you. They learn more from what we do than what we say. Amen? So, when we talk about biblical parenting, there are three key issues. The first one is commanding. Commanding. The first thing is commanding. Let somebody please read Genesis. Genesis 18, verse 19. Please, somebody should read that for us. Genesis 18, 19. Quickly. Anybody there? God said he knows Abraham, that Abraham will do what? Command. He will command his household. He's not going to plead with those children. He said he will command them. And that is why God has handed those children and the people there over to him. He knows that he will insist. He's not an Eli kind of father. Amen? He's not the Eli kind of father who, if they want, they shall do it. Even when they told Eli, see what your children, I said, he is the Lord. Let him do whatever he pleases. What kind of father is that? They are telling you your house is on fire. You're saying, let him do whatever he wants. No. God said, he will command his family. And that is why God chose him. So, commanding a household is part of parenting. The next is training. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, we're familiar with that. Then instructing. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6. Just before we move into the main topic, I want to talk about reasons. Reasons for intentional parenting. Reasons for intentional parenting. Number one is enthronement of God's kingdom in the home. Enthronement of God's kingdom in the home. That is why we have to make sure that it is Christian parenting. To be sure that it is the kingdom of God that will be enthroned in your home. Secondly, is to instill the value for instruction. To instill in our children the value for instruction. Any child that, you know, discusses instruction, that doesn't have value for instruction, that child is heading for destruction. We need to instill in our children. Let them know that instruction is very important. Let them know that it is valuable. Let them know that it is important. Daddy said this is the way this should be done. If the child says, no, that is what Daddy said, and it has to be that way, you have to insist and enforce it. So they have to have value for instruction. And then another reason is continuity of a great lineage. If you want your lineage to continue in integrity, then we have to insist on Christian parenting. We have to insist on Christian parenting. Then, to avoid parental failure. Parental failure is total failure. Eh? Did you hear that? Parental failure is what? Total failure. Because if anybody fails as a parent, the person has failed God. And you have also failed, the person has also failed society. Because that means the person has brought out a child who is, you know, a problem to the society instead of being an asset. We can't have children who have failed the society and failed God. So we have to insist on Christian parenting. Our children cannot be part of that story. Our children are children who will bring up, who will, you know, cause the kingdom of God to progress. Amen? So we can't fail in terms of parenting. Praise the Lord. Let's look at biblical basis for a conversation about sex and sexuality with our kids. Let's read Proverbs chapter 5, We'll just read verse 1 because of our time. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. Okay? Now, a father was here instructing the son about who? The adulterous woman. He doesn't want the son to fall prey. So when we talk about sex or sexual education, it's biblical. It's something that God wants us to do. Because of our time, we would have read Proverbs chapter 7. Maybe we'll just read verse 1 and 2. Please, let's read Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. At your own time, you may read the rest of it. But let's just read verse 1 and 2. Can you move? Okay. If you go further there, it was talking about the adulteress, how to prevent being a prey to the adulteress. Praise the Lord. Other basis for a conversation about sexuality. Now, when you talk about sexuality, when we talk about sexuality, initially, it's something that was offensive to talk about, isn't it? In our own time, you don't mention that kind of thing, no. Even among your peers, see what this person is saying, no. Maybe go kwano. They will look at you somehow. Not now, it is not now. They will boldly tell you and be talking about it as if it is nothing. So, sex education or sexuality education, we just have to talk about it. It is very, very important. We just have to. Praise the Lord. Another reason is that we must be the first voice that our children should hear about sex. Amen? Don't let anybody else tell them about it. Be the first voice. The first voice is the expert. Eh? The first voice is the expert. And that is the person that they will always run to. Another reason is that these children, they know much more than you, as earlier than you imagine that they should know. Eh? What your child knows now is more than you imagine that little child should know. Praise the Lord. Before we proceed, I want us to sing this song and we'll go on. I'm sure we know it. If you touch my private part, I will tell. If you touch my private part, I will tell. I will tell it to my mommy. I will tell it to my daddy. If you touch my private part, I will tell. That song is a good one. What does it say? Number one, it tells us that you have to teach that child to know that once the private part is touched, you should raise alarm. He has to tell. And secondly, who is he telling? The mommy and the daddy. So the mommy and the daddy, are we available for them to tell us? That's the next thing. Are we available? Can they walk up to you and tell you, look at what happened? Or are we too busy? I remember when I was in my PhD work, so much to do. I will be reading. I will read from office. I'll come home. I'll just manage to short, even food. Sometimes my husband will be the one that will prepare. I'll continue reading. And one day, my children were saying, each person's addiction. Say, mommy is addicted to book and her laptop. Hey, that was the day I knew that something is seriously wrong. So what I now do is, as I'm reading, because I finished the program, but somehow, due to my work, I still read. But now, as I'm reading, once they come around, I say, okay, let's talk. I will leave the thing, we'll talk. And I now do most of my reading late at night. Because that statement is a very indicting one. I read of a woman. She was a top government official, traveled all over the world, known all over the world, held all sorts of prestigious positions.
And by the time she retired from all those things, she wrote that her greatest regret was that she didn't have time for her family. She didn't have time for her children. That's her greatest regret in life. Her greatest regret. It shouldn't happen to us. Amen? That's why God brought this program. It shouldn't be our regret at all. How much more greatest threat. So we should create time for our children. For them to even tell you anything is because you are there. If you are not there, they will not tell you. If you are conversant with the WhatsApp, you will hear of stories of a little girl who committed suicide. Why? Because she was going through abuse. The mother was not there. The mother was a banker. In the morning, hey, mommy, wait, I'm late for work. She will rush out. Before she comes back, it's late at night. The girl is sleeping. In the morning, she will, mommy, wait, when I come, she will rush out. Weekend, the girl will say, I have an appointment now. She will rush out until the young girl was overwhelmed by the situation and she committed suicide. The mother was not there. She had all she wanted, though. Every gadget, laptop, this one, they're all there for her. But presence is more important than present. You can give your child anything in the world. The child needs you more than whatever you're giving that child. The child needs you. Do you know that moment your child comes, mommy, and just puts his head on your body? It does a lot of things for that child. A lot. It builds that bonding that gives that child the atmosphere to tell you about anything. Praise the Lord. Let me say this to the fathers. The way you bring up your daughters is very, very important. Extremely important. Your daughters are very precious beings. Very, very precious. They are prone to abuse. More prone to abuse than the boys. I hope we know. They are more prone to abuse than the boys. Don't mind all this gay and all this nonsense they are doing now. Under normal circumstances, it's mostly girls that are abused. And let me tell you, as a father, your role is to make sure that your daughter is reassured of your love. Let that child know that this is daddy's daughter. This is daddy's girl. And daddy loves his daughter. Nobody can tamper with daddy's daughter. When you build that confidence in that child, let me tell you, no man can walk up to her and start saying, this one, that one. Say, my daddy loves me. Oh, this, I love you. Can't sway me. Can't be swayed by I love you. Because some girls, because they lack love at home, anybody that walks up to him and now to her and now starts expressing love, the person will easily fall. But if you come from a home where you're very confident about the love of your father, I'm telling you, it's not love that kind of love will move you. If you know the kind of confidence the father's love builds in a daughter, you will love that child. You will love that child. It's not just in terms of all the sexual relationship. Academics, life, career. Once a daughter knows that my father loves me and he is there to support me to any height, she's not afraid to face any challenge. She can go to any height in life. For me, by God's grace, my father was a civil servant, and once he comes back from work, he's at home. He doesn't go anywhere else. We are all at home. And I just sit by him. I sit close to him. He will teach me. Even when I come back from lesson, he will be the one to teach me. We'll talk. And he built so much confidence in me that when I go out, some people will just drive car. I just look at them as, who is this one? Academically, it built confidence in me. I made up my mind. I said, I will study a male-dominated course. Because for me, I said, what is it that I cannot face? Because of the kind of confidence my father built in me. He gave me this kind of reassurance that
Nobody can mess you around with love. Because so many young girls are lacking the love. So fathers, take time to love your daughters. Reassure them of your love. Reassure them of, you know, that they are protected. Amen? Let them know that they are protected. Let them know that they are safe. You're doing that physically. You're doing that also spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
Because physical protection, don't work one other work. Amen?
Uh-huh.
You cannot always protect them physically, but you can protect them spiritually. God forbid, if armed robbers come into the house, you may not be able to protect them. You may not be able to protect them, but spiritually you can protect them. So, always reassure them that you are there for them. There was this story of a young boy that the father always told, if you have any problem, just call me, I'll be there for you. The boy was always boasting, my daddy will always be there for me now. One day, their school building collapsed and children were trapped under the rubbles. And this little boy was there. Immediately, the father came in and saw that they said there are still children under. He started pulling all the rubbles. People were like, how can you do this? Everybody is, and those children cannot survive. They are already. He said, no, I must see my son. So when he insisted and kept bringing out the rubbles, other people joined him. And they kept bringing out the rubbles. And until they got to a place where some children were trapped. And his son was there alive. And he saved the son. Do you know what the boy said? He told you that, I told you people my daddy will come. I told you people my daddy will come. That is the kind of confidence he had in his father. And thank God the father did not betray that confidence. Fathers, love your daughters. Their birthday, get them something. Let them, just reassure them, give them this confidence. When you give them that confidence, you don't know the level of thing you're building in your child. The child can face the world. The child can face any situation. The child can face any challenge whatsoever because of your reassurance. Because of the confidence you've built in him or her. Praise the Lord. So, all right, we'll look at, when we talk about sex, sex is what we do, and then sexuality is who we are. That is the way we react to sexual issues, okay? That's the difference between sex and sexuality. Then when we talk about appropriate conversations, please, the person in the control room, please help us. When we talk about the age-appropriate conversations, okay, it says here that when it comes to talking to kids about sex, the fear of saying too much, too soon, often leads to saying too little, too late. Let me not tell them so much now. This child is still young. Let me not tell them so much. Before you know it, you have little to say, and that time is even late. So talk to them, though depending on their age. Don't say, this child is too young. Especially once the child is stepping out of your house, going to, you know, we take our children out so early now. From 3, they're already out. Daycare, nursery. So we should begin with, there are 3 main stages right now. Let's talk about that, of talking to them. The first is 3 to 5 years. 3 to 5 years. Then the second stage is 5 to 8 years. 5 to 8 years. And then the third is 8 to 12 years. My sister will take the other one for the adolescent. So for the children, we'll stop at 12, all right? So now for those that are 3 to 5 years, the first thing about them is that you need to tell them the parts of their body. Amen? That's your 3-year-old child. Let him know the parts of his body. Eh? So at this point, at 3 to 5, it's more of...
Yeah, at 3 to 5, it's a fundamental stage. So at that point, you teach them their body parts. Let them know their body parts. Then secondly, let them know the boundaries. Let them know the boundaries. These ones are private parts. These ones are public parts. These ones should be are the ones that people can see. These ones, the private parts, don't let anybody see them. You have to be specific and tell them. Now, also, you have to help them to realize the functions of these body parts. What are they used for? Okay? Tell them what the body parts are used for. This one is for peeing. This one is for poo-poo. Mention everything by name. And then, it's also important to use biblical conversation. Now, when we talk about telling our 3-year-old about this kind of thing, sometimes we really shy away from it. It's not easy to start. Amen. I remember the first time my son came. Mommy, how do they even how do people born babies safe? Hey, that day it was at night. I didn't know what to do. I was almost thrown off balance, but I just had to try to maintain my cool. I said, "You want to know how babies are born? Don't worry, we'll talk about that tomorrow." But it was my first time. I didn't know how to approach the thing. I was like, "Kwan kwan ha jomo di henka." So I just said, "We'll talk about it tomorrow, okay? Just go and sleep. Tomorrow we'll talk about it." So when he went to bed, I had to go and do my research. I called one of my friends that has been speaking on this. Neke kesa about this kind of thing with omwaka bikun. And we discussed. So after we discussed, I had to look at other materials. So the next day, we sat down and we talked about it. But initially, I was feeling somehow as in, how can I even be discussing this with my child? It's not easy to start, but when you start, you see that there's no big deal about it. Amen? And then it's something we need to talk about often. Eh? The more you talk, the easier it gets. The more you talk about it, the easier it gets. You just have to start. You just have to start it. Start from that 3-year-old child. The world we're in is so corrupt. Blue film and mess themselves up. So as aunties and uncles are doing their own, the brother and the sister will start doing. They'll start having sex because they are watching their aunties and uncles doing it. The parents did not know. This went on in the family for some time till the girl got pregnant by her own brother. Her own brother. And that was when it dawned on the parents. The mother was like, "How can I've brought up my children in the way of the Lord?" Yes, so you are not there. So we need to monitor our homes. As you do your own assignment of talking and, you know, praying for them, you have to open your eyes. Don't say, "I've told my child, I have taught my child." Supervise, monitor, follow up, ask questions, open your eyes. When you get into the home and things are not the right way, you watch what happens. Ask questions. It's just like for the young boys, the normal thing is that, you know, when they wake up in the morning, their penis should be erect. And when you look at your son, he wakes up and it's not erect, then he has started masturbation. Amen? So you have to watch, observe that child. When they enter the bedroom and they stay for so long, you have to come curious and know what is going on, what is happening. There are certain questions they ask. Yes, you will answer the question, but it also leads you to know that something else is happening. So that's why I said that the Holy Spirit is your best companion in this journey. It's your best companion. You can't know it all. Some of us are smart and, you know, enlightened, but these children are smarter than you. It's only the Holy Spirit that can help you to take a step further, to be ahead of them. So we need to be very, very careful. We need to watch what they are doing. Monitor. Don't take things for granted. When you come into the home and things are not the way they ought to be, ask questions. Look around. Find out what happened. Why is this thing not here? What happened to this? What happened to that? It's in answering those simple questions that you're going to get clues to other things that are going on in your home. So we need to be very, very curious and ask questions. If he's one of my friends, she will say, no, she doesn't trust her son or her children. You can't say, "I trust this my child, he can't do anything bad." Be careful. We pray for them to follow the ways, but as you're teaching them, also be open to accept what
is going on.
One of my friends, she was like, she had brought up her children, always monitoring them. They're always at home. They are not the outgoing type. They are not exposed to, you know, some children keep going out. They don't go out. Just from school to the house, or they're all going for fellowship. So the child had not really been exposed all that. But she noticed that the child started withdrawing, always in the room, no longer associating with the siblings. And she became curious, only to find out that the son had started masturbating. And she now, you know, started asking, and he said that it's when they go out in the mornings to fetch water from the well, the other boys in the yard, they'll bring phone there and be watching pornography, and he doesn't follow them. That's sometimes they say, how can only you, all of us, come and see what we are watching? How can only you be here? All of us, come and see. He went to see. From seeing, started practicing. For the mother, this child, when they're born, were such exposure. So my child cannot do that kind of thing. But the child was already under her nose. He didn't need to go out to do it or to learn that thing right under her nose. So we need to be very careful and ask the Holy Spirit to help us at every point in time. So we need to use the Bible, especially these ones. There are 3 to 5. Use the Bible. As you're reading the Bible with them, that's why it's also important that we spend time with them in reading the Bible. As you read the Bible with them, like in Genesis, you're reading about God created the male and female he created. You start telling them about the body parts. You know, the males are these ones that look like the boys, the daddies, you know, that have so body parts. The females are these. You have started introducing it, and it's a logical flow. You get that? You didn't need to start sitting down and say, oh, we're going to talk about sex today. You are reading the Bible from there, teaching the child. It just flows logically. Amen? From there, also other Bible stories. As the child grows older, you introduce more things. Tell them about other stories in the Bible that talk about sexuality. And then another thing, for 3 to 5 years, when they ask questions, don't ever hush. You know, in our own time, when there are certain things you ask about, I say, yeah, which one also is a good if I don't say that kind of thing. They'll hush you. But not now. Please, every question they ask you is a good question. Did you hear that? Every question is a good question. No matter how silly and how rotten, in quotes, that question is. Say, wow, that's a good question. If you don't tell the child that it's a good question, that is a good thing that the person asked you, the person will go outside. Or Juoge, he said, don't say that kind of thing. He will go and ask those outside, and they will give the child the wrong information. So each question, that's a good question. So even if you don't have the answer there and there, so how did you hear about this? Huh? Thank God we're children teachers. Add the play inside it. So how did you hear about that? And the child will start telling you. That is how you know whether your child, somebody has started infiltrating into your child's privacy. Just by me, I say, how did you hear about that? A child will come up and say, mommy, what is condom? You simply ask child, wow, that's a good question. So, how did you hear about that? Now, tell me, who told you about it? Playfully. If you make your face tell, what? Who told you about this thing and start scolding? Child say, ha. The child will not tell you anything again. No. Child will just close up. Oh, can go mommy go up and balls. Child will close up. So any question, good question. Don't even show your surprise. Don't even say, who told? Don't bother. Say, just the normal play. So you heard about condoms. So who told you about it? Let's talk about that playfully. And you start talking, and the child will tell you, it was Uncle Dato or Auntie this. You will know who is exposing your child. So every question is a good question. And don't say they are too young. I read of in 1998, a woman was writing an article in 1998. She said her mother was a teacher in a school. It's in London. Then one day, the mother was in the class when others were on break. A child, a 4-year-old boy, carried two doll babies and all that. Brought two of them to the auntie. Auntie, see. Brought two of them, laid one on the other. Say, auntie, see gay. 4-year-old child. That was in 1998. Imagine what is that time. We didn't used to hear about gay self. Gay wasn't a common thing. Much more now. That's why you should teach your child. Tell them, this one's not good. Abroad, their own is even worse. Although it's gradually coming down here. Because there, the ideology now is that you are free to choose the kind of marriage you want. So all those ones are more like legalized things. It's you that's a Christian parent that must tell your child, this is not what the Bible says. It's not right. Praise the Lord. So I think we'll stop that there for the 3 to 5 years. What we have there, I'm not sure it's visible. It's not okay. But you can teach the body parts like a traffic light. I'm sure we've seen that
teaching aid
that shows the body parts as traffic lights. So you can use that to teach them. Then let's move over to 5 to 8 years because of our time. 5 to 8 years. This is the second stage of the discussion. These are children who love to explore. At this point, they want to find out what is going on. Yeah? Now, at this point, you have to let them know that they have a right to privacy. That is, as in, you know, they shouldn't be exposing themselves like that. And then the other people, they shouldn't be looking at other people because at this point, they want to find out what is happening. Some of them will see somebody undressing. They want to go and look for where there is a hole to peep. Eh? Let me even see what this person does each time she enters that place to change. You want to see. So it's a time to call them. Said, it's not right for you to be looking at somebody's private part. Teach them that. Let them know that it is wrong. They shouldn't expose their own private part and they should not go looking at somebody else's private part. Though normal body development is a time of exploration. Okay? So, but you have to teach them how to curb those instincts. Then another thing, the difference between boys and girls. You have to make a clear difference. Boys, this is the way they are. These are their body parts. The girls, these are their body parts. Praise the Lord. Then you let them know where it's appropriate to, the only place they can remove their clothes is, you know, when they are taking their bath and all that. They shouldn't remove their clothes and agree to all those kind of things in their friend's house or in public places. Let them know the wrong in, you know, some of these dressing. It's at this point you start teaching them about the dressing. One day when he knew the friend was not around, he went there and raped her. And after raping her, he knew that they would always find out. He killed her. Killed her, strangled her. It was not the CCTV. Even when they were thinking of what happened, he followed as my family friend now. And was until he didn't know the parents, it's called the CCTV. That was how they found out that he was the one. So dressing is very, very important in our homes.
Thank you.
Sorry. It's very, very important. Teach your children. Let's teach them about dressing, whether within or without. Most of the girls that are raped, it's sometimes some men will just look at them and are attracted. And they know that maybe when they talk to the girl, she will not agree. They will devise another means. But if the person dresses decently, the level of attraction will be reduced. It's not that they won't be attracted. It will be reduced. Unfortunately, even with the mothers, the way we dress nowadays, some of us want to be slave queens. Even at our age, it's not proper. So we need to ask God to help us. The essence of teaching about sexuality and all these things to our children is not just for here. Amen. It's not just for here on earth. Let them be responsible. Eternity, God will ask you about these children. And remember how God hates sexual sin. God hates it with a passion. Reuben, excellent of strength. After the father praised him, said what? But you shall not excel. Why? Sexual sin. He's supposed to be, you know, the best of all. But he didn't excel because of sexual sin. So God is particular about it. Said all other sins are what? Outside the body. But this one is against your own body. So that is why we need to talk to our children. We're not talking to them just let it be that we said. We don't want them to fall into anything that will bring separation between them and God. Amen? There was one woman of God that talked of how her 4 children all got married as virgins. And when the daughter was about to get married, she had to fast for 2 years. That was what she said. 1 year. She had to fast for 1 year. 1 full year. She was fasting every single day. Why? So that the girl will not, in the name of courtship, file the bed. You know, so many things. So sexual sin is something that God hates. So when you tell your children about it, when you talk about it, you're not telling them so that they will not just disgrace us. You're telling because of their relationship with God. It cuts destinies. So don't allow this thing to cut the destiny of our children. That's why we talk about it. Whether we want to do it or we don't want to do it, whether you're comfortable doing it or not, we just have to do it. It's our responsibility because we don't want these children to be lost.
to the enemy. The generation we're in, the devil is out. Immorality is nothing. It is nothing now. On campus, you see students. In short, sometimes I look, I just wonder, I say, this person, how does the person feel coming out of the room? They'll wear something skimpy and just walk out of the room and be walking around the campus and with their eyes rolling here and there. No shame. In our own time, they'll talk of shamefacedness, isn't it? And women, we had not even you yourself. But this one, no shame. When I traveled to Abuja the other time, a pastor was talking of in the market that some ladies would just, you know how they wear all these skimpy things. So when they wear, the men there would say, hey, they'll just be touching them and pulling them just to disgrace them. Do you understand? So it got to a point. One day they were just, you know, trying to talk to one of them. And another person just called the lady and said, see, these people are shouting because your dress is open at the back. I'm aware. As in, she knows what she's doing. So I let that, they started calling that, all those kind of, I'm aware. So the person deliberately came out that way. What do you expect? Why wouldn't there be rapes? Why wouldn't there be also molestation? Praise the Lord. We need to teach our children. During the COVID-19 era, we witnessed a lot of molestations in homes. It was so much. If you read about the cases, they were too much in homes. So we need to talk about these things so that God will help us to avert them in our own homes. Praise the Lord. Then issues like where babies come from for age 5 to 8. We're still talking about age 5 to 8. Let them have a positive image of their bodies. They need to have a positive image of their bodies. Don't tell them, you know, all those kind of things that will make them feel shame each time, okay? The body is part of God's creation. Even the sex is part of God's what? Creation. Let them know that it's serving a purpose. Sex is how babies are made. When daddies and mommies love each other, that's how babies are born. Explain to them, okay? But as they grow older, you now get into more details to tell them, they make it plain for them. So we have to explain to them the body parts and the functions of the body, and then that people should not touch them without their consent. Let's make it clear to them, nobody has the right to touch you without your permission. Draw meat into their eyes. Nobody can touch you without your permission. Nobody should do it. Nobody should touch your body, especially your private part, without your permission. What if an achievement? Let them know what to do. They shouldn't touch it. Say no go area. The only person that is permitted to touch it is daddy or mommy when they are bathing you. Okay? When they are bathing you. You know, our society has become so corrupt that we have some cases of fathers molesting their daughters. So when daddy is bathing you and putting hand inside there, and each time he wants to bath you, we'll start doing other things. Better open up. To tell the daughters, if somebody is, and the person is touching that place too much, speak out. If it's the house help that is betting them and always doing all that, speak out. So you have to make it, let them know. Because some children who have been abused is because of ignorance. Their parents did not tell them. So they felt nothing there. Praise the Lord. So we need to tell them and make it plain to them. Then we should not lie to them. Don't tell them any lie about sexuality. Tell them the truth. Don't cover up. The only thing is that the level of fruit you're telling them should be age appropriate. You don't have to start discussing with an 8-year-old girl about sexual intercourse. It may be too early. But just explain to the child what sex is. Who are those permitted, then let the person know that when you grow older, there are other things I will tell you. There are other things I will tell you. So it's very, very important. Don't tell them any lie, because they can go with false information. Some of us were told, if a man touches you, you get pregnant too. But it's not true. It's not true. So that time, one came back and they say, shift to qua before you get pregnant. But that's not true. There's this also false one that if you're a girl at 25 and you have not slept with any man, the first day you have sex, you will suffer. It's not true. It is not true. So keep yourself. You don't go and break your virginity. I'm almost 25. Before this thing, they say it will happen. You now go and follow somebody and go and do something so that you'll not reach 25 without being this. It is not true. Amen? So keep your virginity and teach your children to keep their virginity. Let them keep them. That this sex, in short, it is for people who are married. Biblical marriage, oh. Amen. Akwema name was this different kinds of marriage now. Eh? Same sex marriage. Eh? Women to women, men to men. All sorts of things. But biblical marriage. Let them know that it's a beautiful thing. It is God who created sex. That it is God's own gift to married people. Let them know that, in short, that it is sweet when you are married. Amen? Let them know so that they don't go with false information. Praise the Lord. So I think we'll move over to the last stage because of our time is fast spent. Age 8 to 12 years. These ones, you have to step up your teachings. Amen? Amen. You have to step up. Step up your teachings because these ones are very exposed. At 11, some of them are already in secondary school. They are doing biology in school. So they are learning a lot of things. And biology class. After biology class, the discussions are another level because they have known what mommy and daddy know. Eh? They know what mommy and daddy know. So they start discussing in class. So you have to tell them, open up more to them. Nowadays, some girls start menstruating at 11. So you have to tell them, open up to them, and tell them virtually everything. So let them know about pornography. That is a trap. Pornography is a very big trap. It's one of the destroyers of our young people. So tell them that pornography is not good at all. Then sharing photos of people's nakedness and all those things is wrong. Masturbation is wrong. Call out all these sexual sins and let them know that they are wrong. Call them by names. Explain to them, this is what they do in such a situation. It is wrong. So tell them about it. Then about keeping secrets. Amen? This is a very, very important aspect at this stage. Keeping secrets. Sometimes some of these children are lured into sin because the predators, those men who want to put them into, you know, abuse them, will always tell them, keep it secret. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And when they keep it secret, before you find out, it's an advanced stage of problem. I'm sure we heard the stories of the young ladies that came from Ghana to Nigeria. Their boyfriend invited them. They came from Ghana. And at the end of the day, they were used for ritual. Sure, we heard the story. If they had told their people, look at this. If they had told them, I'm sure maybe it would have been prevented. There was also this story of a young boy, his own. He was always in the room. He got in contact with somebody online, and the person was discussing with the person and thought it was AI. He thought it was AI. And the AI will be discussing so many things. He felt that, he has found a friend. They will just discuss. The parents will see him. They'll think he just did something online. They didn't know he was chatting with somebody. Before, he got attached to the figure online. And one day, the so-called AI told him, shoot yourself. Shoot yourself. So that you be with me where I am. When you shoot yourself, you come to where I am. The poor boy shot himself and died. And that was when the parents, they started tracing, you know, his phone and all, and saw what was going on. So secrets, teach them not to keep any secrets. How do you do that? When they come back from school, so what happened in school today? How was school today? What happened? How is auntie? No, prompt them to discuss. Prompt them to discuss. From one question, you ask another one. Hey, that's your friend. Hey, you said Emeka is your best friend. So did Emeka come to school today? He came, what of this other friend? He didn't come. He's not feeling well. What is wrong? Ask question. When he is used to your, you know, discussion with him, when he comes back, he said, mommy, did you know that this chick did not come to school today? What happened? he will now be the one initiating the stories. He will tell you, he will be free to tell you all that happened in school. It's just like my son came back, the last one came back the other time. Mommy, did you know that two boys in my class, they were opening their knicker inside the class. Auntie did not even know. He said, so what did you do? He said, go and tell your auntie. What did you do? Tell your auntie. So when they are conscious that this thing is wrong, anywhere they find it, they will not be party to it, and they will also expose it. Praise the Lord. A friend told me of how the children went for camp. Camp. Christian camping. And when they got there, the daughter, during break, she went into the hostel to take something. Only to meet two girls in a Christian camp. Two of them were lesbians. Using themselves. In a Christian camp. The officiating brethren didn't know. She just had to run downstairs and go and tell the person. So when, as children workers, when one person goes, don't allow another person to go. Because the other person was allowed to go, given permission. Okay, go and ease yourself. The other person, the auntie, did not wait for that one that went out to come. And maybe the poor woman will not even know they will be doing anything. So as children ministers, we need to be careful. So let's ask God to really help us. So teach them about all these evils, that these things, they should not be party to it. It's not children. Then the warning signs, we should be careful about the warning signs. I've mentioned when they stay too long in the bathroom, when they do certain things, watch. When they start being reserved, always in the room, always want to be alone, always want to be on their own, no longer talking to the siblings. Everybody will be in the sitting room, is inside, doing another, just on his own, say, I'm doing my assignment. Watch that assignment. Monitor. Find out. Pick up the device. Pick it up. Maybe when that child is sleeping, go and pick up his device. Scroll through the history. Go through the browsing history. You should do that as a mother, as a father. Go through the browsing history. You will find out when he's visiting pornographic sites. We'll find out. And be able to take action on time. If you leave it and the child gets neck deep into it, it becomes an addiction. And to come out is a big problem. So you have to start early. Monitor. One of my friends, she said the children used to call her monitor. She said, yes, she's a monitor. Because in her home, she says she's always nosing into everything that goes on in her home. She wants to know everything. Everything. And it has helped her. All her children are all grown up now. But then they didn't like it. What is this one you're doing? What is this one? Why is this one here? He used to call her monitor. He said, I'm monitor. Now, everybody is now on their own. So we need to monitor what they are doing. Don't take things for granted. Don't say, it's my child. This child has grown up in the church, has been in Sunday school. Monitor. You don't know the influences they've gotten from school and other places. There are children who they meet. Children from very corrupt homes. Children who have adult brothers and sisters who introduce them to evils. You have to monitor so that they don't corrupt your child. Praise the Lord. Now, another thing is for 8 to 12 years, they are entering into puberty. So be plain. Tell them every single thing they need to know. And the negative and the positive impact of indulging in any sexual intercourse or sexual sin. Let them know the precautions they should take. Now, how to answer children's questions. One is that always listen to them attentively. Attentively is the word. Some of us are so busy. One could go as a person, you're busy, let me be doing this thing. Be talking. I'm listening to you. But your attention is somewhere else. Please sit down and listen to that child. Even if you're so busy, say, nah, just wait. Let me finish this. Let's talk. Oh, you sit down. Listen to that child. When you listen to that child, you're going to read in between lines in what that child is saying. You will read, you will understand so many other things the Holy Spirit will tell you in between what, even what the child has not said. The tone of the voice, the approach. Sometimes the child might even want not to tell you certain things and keep some. It's when you are attentive, when you're listening, that is when you will know that what of this, why didn't he talk about this aspect? That's when you will know. And the Holy Spirit is there to also teach you. Praise the Lord. Then when asked questions, of course, if you don't have a ready answer, try to tell the child, we'll talk about it. Eh? We'll talk about it. Just by tomorrow, we'll talk about it. Don't take it too far. Eh? Don't procrastinate about it. Listen to that child at that moment. Talk about it at most the following day. And you within that period, go and do your research. Amen? Thank God for internet. There's nothing you can't find in internet too. There's nothing you cannot find there. You will find materials, documents, videos, whatever facility, whatever material you need in child upbringing. This thing is not for watching film alone. If it's my husband, he said, this one, that if the white man knew that, knew the kind of things he would learn from food, they wouldn't have allowed the food to reach Africa. Because he is not the type that will go to the library and sit down, start reading book. But with his phone, he studies so many things. So there are a lot of things we can do with our phone. Within that period of, let's talk tomorrow, you go into your room, you're not sleeping that night until you find an answer. You go and do your research. Check books. Go through YouTube videos, how to respond to three-year-old when they ask. You will see the videos, you see the responses, you will know. You have enough resources to respond to that child adequately. Praise the Lord. Even for yourself, parenting materials, they're all here. They're all here. It's not for film. You can download so many things that you short, you won't have time for any unprofitable discussion. I'm telling you, you won't have time for it. Because there are so many things that will equip you with knowledge in your parenting. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're rounding up. Also for the 8 to 12 year olds, we should be looking at okay, we've talked about masturbation and all that, and how to respond to them. While responding, speak in clear terms. Please speak in clear terms. Yeah? And then always let them know that you are happy that they came to you. Yeah? Always let them know that you're happy that they came to you. That they asked you that question. You're so happy. Thank you. You're very intelligent. Something that will make that child to be happy that to do it again, to come back to you again. Always let them know that it's a good thing they did that they came to you. Then to build that trust, share your personal experiences with them. Share your personal experiences with them. It's not just in terms of sexuality, other issues of life. There was a time my son was going through mathematics and thing was giving him a hell of a headache. I said, if you know what happened to me in mass when I was in JS3, if you know what happened to me, say, what happened? Mommy, tell me what happened. I said, do you know when I was in JS3? One day, my teacher was teaching a new topic. I didn't understand the topic. All of a sudden, she called me, I should come and solve something on the board. I didn't get it. She told the whole class that they should call me Olodo. He said, Mommy, they called you Olodo. I said, they called me Olodo. Say, hey, who are you? I said, they called me Olodo. I said, but after that day, they called me Olodo. I said, after this mass, I will deal with it. And I went back. I started studying mass. And by the time I was writing WAEC, I had A3 in mass. He said, hey. I said, so face your own mass. If you make up your mind that you can do this message. I thought they called me Olodo. And that Olodo they called me made me so angry. I had to sit down and study. So you better sit down and study your own. Because he didn't pass mass that year. He said, you better sit down. This F in mass, tell yourself that you have to work on it and you'll pass it. Use your personal experiences as much as possible. Of course, some in terms of sexuality, it may not be all the things you want to share with them, okay? The ones you can share, share. Okay? You share with them. Say, ah, maybe as a lady, say, ah, when I was growing up, you know, young men used to disturb me. And this was what I used to do. These are experiences you share with your daughters so that when they are going through such things, they will know that mommy went through it and was able to overcome. And I can also overcome. So share your experiences with it. The men, daddies, you can also share with your sons. Okay? Tell them about the body changes, the experiencing, the discomfort. You know, when their voice gets all those, go on, maybe she will talk more about that. But when they notice some changes, share with them so that they can come to you. Eh? One day my son came and said, mommy, see my armpit. See all the hairs under my armpit. What do I do? I don't like this. It's making me sweat every time. See all the hairs. I told him, okay. See shaving powder. See what to do. You mix it. You do this or you rub on it. I told him. And he started doing it. Once you create a conducive atmosphere in your home, they will always feel free to ask you. Make sure that conducive atmosphere is there. The way you relate with them. It doesn't mean you won't be firm. You will be firm as a parent. But, you know, sometimes play with them. Eh? You know, kate toto hamba. Hey, and they'll be so happy that, hey, mommy, hey. So go and tell the other one, do you know that mommy was chasing me safe? They'll be so happy. Create that atmosphere where they can come to you, where they'll be free to tell you things, where they'll be free to relate with you. And you see that they'll open up. They won't hide anything from you. Praise the Lord. So share your personal experiences. Be present for them. Be present. We've talked about that before. Be present. No matter what you are doing, these children are more important than anything else. Do we agree? They are more important. There was this story of a professor. Eh? He was so studious, always reading, always doing this one. The children will come for this, said, I'm busy now, I'm busy now. He said, I'm busy now, I'm busy now. Even the children's birthday, I'm busy now, I'm busy now. When the man got old, he had retired from all those I'm busy now. There was no more I'm busy now to do. His birthday, he will invite all the children. The children say, I'm busy now. Eh? I'm busy, daddy, I'm busy. Even though they themselves may be busy, but I'm sure that if their father had responded well to them, they would create time to see him. But because he never gave them any time, they didn't feel anyhow not giving him their own time. So what we sow is what we reap. Create time for them. Create time. Make their birthday special. Even if you don't have money to go and buy a big cake, even if it's, you know, 200 naira cake, buy it. Ha! This is your birthday. Eh? Sure. Next time when we get more, we'll go to celebrate it. Let them feel special. Let them know that they are valuable. Let them know that, you know, they make you happy. Eh? You know, when they come around you, don't. Sometimes they can be annoying, you know. Amen? Amen. Let's tell ourselves the truth, isn't it? When King has said many, he will do it. And watching your reaction, just wants to know what you will do. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. The worst thing you can do is to say the wrong word. Is to say the wrong word. This parenting is a battle of words. It's a battle of words. They can annoy you and you will say something. And that thing goes with that child. Don't ever. Don't ever. Even when you're so upset that you manage to have said, call that child. Lay your hands and pray for that child. And say, it will not happen. I cancel it in Jesus' name. Always speak. See, for your child to prosper, it's in your mouth. It's a battle of words. The enemy wants to destroy these children with your words. Sometimes you as a Christian, you have been standing, God is helping you. He will enter your children. They will just annoy you. Eh? In short, sometimes you will say the things you don't want to say. And when you finish, you say, see, pastor, you see what you're telling me. The child that annoyed you, say, you're a pastor, see what you're telling me. That is the children we have now. But you are a pastor. See what you told me. So what do you do? So you have to ask God to help you. Self-control. Eh? As they are doing it, say, Holy Spirit, help me to say the right words. If not, you may use your own hands to mend the future of these children. It's a battle of words. And the enemy will just prompt them to do something. When he's tempting you, of course, the devil, as children workers and maybe old Christians, the devil will come with lie, you know, succumb. Come with adultery for where, you know what? What will he do? Use your children. Use your children. They'll make you angry. Do something that will upset you. But we have to ask God to help us. It's a battle of words. Be careful with your words. Your words will mold that child. Your words. Wake up in the for my children. In the night, when they are asleep now, go to their room. Lay hands on them. Pray for them. I said, you will love righteousness and hate wickedness. Say what the Bible says concerning them. At this time that children they love all this pornography. I said, you will love righteousness and hate wickedness. I'll keep saying it to them. Bring up scriptures. The kind of character that the child is exhibiting that is unwholesome. Bring scripture, pray for that child concerning it. Use that scripture and speak to that child. It's a battle of words. Recently, one minister was talking of Chris Oyakhilome. He said Chris Oyakhilome, when he was starting ministry, that he was a neglected person. Nobody knows him. Nobody cared about him. What did he do? He didn't succumb to, you know, the dejection. That Chris Oyakhilome would wake up in the morning and say, I am God's favorite. He would, all the scriptures, he would be speaking to himself. Said that was how he rose up and stood as a minister. The word works. The word works. No matter what that child is, say, God says you are the head and not the tail. Speak what the Bible says concerning that child. And it will happen. You have authority. You have spiritual and physical authority over that child. You are the one who should dictate what happens in the life of that child. So don't let the devil take you away from that responsibility. You are the one to determine. No matter what that child does, speak life to that child, and that child will live. If they can scroll to the last point, we should tidy up at this moment. The last slide. I added some songs there in the slide about Daniel was a child like me who proposed not to defile himself. There are small songs that you can use to teach them. You can also propose in your heart that you will not defile yourself, that you live holy, you live righteous, you live for God, and that God will, you know, things that will motivate them to hold on to purity and holiness. Praise the Lord. Okay. Isaiah 43. Please go to that conclusion, please. Okay, 54:13 said, our children shall be taught by the Lord. They shall be taught by the Lord. So when you have done all your own teaching, as you pray, Holy Spirit, teach my child. Teach my child, the ones that I don't even know that he's involved and needs to be taught, teach him. They will be taught by the Lord. And when they are taught by the Lord, they will be great and they will be blessed. Let us pray. Please bow down your heads. Yesterday, I saw a video of a young girl, 17-year-old girl, who did something wrong in the school, and they wanted to flog her, only to see her bleeding by the hand. And when they examined it, they saw that there was a contraceptive in her hand, inserted in her hand. And when she was questioned, she said, there are over 40 of them in that school, 40 girls. who had the same contraceptive. I don't know what you want concerning your children. We're in a very corrupt generation. I want you to pray concerning your children. Ask the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Ask him to give you wisdom. Except the Holy Spirit directs you. My sister, my brother, these ones are very smart. It's only the Holy Spirit that can outsmart them and keep you ahead of them and make you to be able to tackle all the antics, all the demonic wisdom that the enemy wants to put in them. I want you to talk to the Lord at this time. I want us to talk to the Lord. Bring out time to wake up in the morning or in the night. Speak in tongues over your children. Speak to the Lord. Speak in language that even the devil cannot understand. Prophesy over those children that they will fulfill their destiny. They will take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of them. They will be vessels of honor meet for the master's use. They will be the head and not the tail. 1,000 shall fall by their right, 10,000 by their left. They will not fall victim of circumstances. They will not, none shall come near them. No evil shall befall them. The arrows that fly by day and the ones that fly by night, they will not come near them. You need to continually speak over them. In this era of kidnapping and evil and all whatnot, they will not fall victim of circumstance. The mark of the blood of Jesus will be upon their forehead. Wherever they go, in their going out, in their coming in, the Lord will be with them. The Lord will give his angels charge over them continually. It's our responsibility. I've told us that parenting is a lifelong responsibility. It's a lifelong responsibility. It's a tough responsibility. You cannot rest. You cannot rest from parenting. There is no leave for parenting. There is no break from parenting. You have to keep caring for that child's welfare, even till the very end, till the day you breathe your own last. You have to keep caring and taking care of that child, presenting that child before the throne of grace. That is the greatest thing you can do for that child. You cannot even go where maybe they are in Abuja there, so you can't go there, but you can talk to the Lord from where you are. You can command what happens to them. You can speak to their destiny. You can pray for them. You can cover them. You can shield them with the word of God from wherever you are. You can dictate their destiny. You can write what you want their destiny to look like. You can begin now to picture what you want your children to be in the next 20 years. Father, in the next 20 years, I want to see my sons peacefully married. Not married to Jezebels, but married to godly women. I want to see my daughters married to ministers, men of God. I want to see them godly women married to godly men. I want to see their children well brought up. Father, my children will not fall by the wayside. They will not be a ridicule. They will not be a reproach to the kingdom of God. People always say, pastor's children. Not my children, my own children. Father, they will be your representative. They will excel in every area of life. It shall be well with them in their going out and their coming in. Father, Lord, their memory is blessed. You need to prophesy and speak to your children. You are the one to dictate their destiny. You are the one to say what will happen to these children. They have been committed into your hands. You will give account to God concerning these ones. You will give account to God. If you didn't spend time in prayer and they go haywire, God will hold you accountable. So that prayer, you need to pray it. It may be inconveniencing for you, but you just have to do it. It's a responsibility God has given you, and you're going to give account to God. You cannot allow this thing that God has put in your hand to be destroyed by the enemy. Remember, they are the enemy's target. He wants to snatch these ones away. He wants to make them a ridicule. He wants to use them as his instrument. You are the one to say no. Do something new in Allah. Something new in Allah. Something new in our lives. Today, do something new in our lives. Something marvelous in our lives. Something new in our lives. Oh Lord, we cannot do
without you. We cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. Oh Lord, we cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. Oh Lord, sing it to yourself. We cannot do without you. I cannot do without you. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. It's a serious assignment the Lord has given to us. It's a tough one, but we can do it. The Lord can help us. I cannot do without you. I cannot do without you. I cannot do without you. Oh Lord. Father, we are grateful for this time we've spent at your feet. Thank you for the things you have taught us. Father, help us. That will not be hearers but doers. Give us the grace. Lord, it's a tough journey. It's a tough responsibility. Father, of our own strength, we can do nothing. But Lord, we'd rely on you to help us. Help us, precious Holy Spirit. Father, we will not be failures. Our children will not be failures. Our parenting will not be a failure. Father, your grace is sufficient for us. Father, you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or imagine. Father, give us the grace. You are the one who gave us this assignment. We know the grace to do it is sufficient. Father, give us your grace that will do this work you have given to us. That the day will stand before you. Father, will stand bold and glad to have helped us thus far. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.